Hello, everyone. Welcome to His Dork Materials, the His Dark Materials slash The Mandalorian podcast. We are on episode 3 of His Dark Materials. Things are starting to get interesting in the old world of I actually don't can't I can't remember what the I guess it's in Oxford, right? That we're taking
Well,
place in.
they start in Oxford, and the last episode and this episode take place in London until Lyra leaves with the Egyptians. And they were in London, and where they go, they don't actually name in the show, but in the book, what it's called is the Fens, and so that's where they're at now, is the Fens.
Okay. I think John Fa kind of says it at the end when he says we're leaving the something or other.
Yeah, he says they're going to take us to the port and then tell the captain to set sail for.
Yeah. So I think like for the first 3 or 4 minutes after like the main credits thing, I was I kind of had
Worried.
an, yeah, I was a little worried that this would might be like a wheel spinning episode because it kind of had that energy to it. But I ended up being entirely incorrect in that feeling, or like pretty quickly after, like after the scene where John Fa kind of rallies everybody, I think it kind of like is able to change gears pretty quickly and go away from that.
Yeah, I don't really feel like there's going to be any wheel spinning episodes. I don't think they have time,
No.
honestly. I wanted to like reference check a couple things that happened in the book versus what's happening in this episode. And I know we have what, 12 episodes of this show? We're in 12, right? For the
No,
first season.
they're doing 8 in the
They're
first
doing
season.
eight. So we
Yeah.
are almost at the halfway point, and in the book, you're not quite to the halfway point yet.
Yeah.
And there's, and so which means that we haven't even hit the main event like at all, and we're almost halfway through the episode. So I don't think they have time for wheel spinning, honestly. There's a lot more material to cover, and I think they're gonna have to try to do it at this pace that they're doing it at now. Which I'm happy about.
Yeah. The there was a moment when a character popped up on screen, and in my head I was just like, Andrew Scott, Andrew Scott, Andrew Scott. So I'll be interested to see when he pops in because he seems to be. There's a big question mark around what actually his deal is, and I'm really interested to find out what that is.
That is the thing that Heather will not be talking about, actually.
Oh, good. So,
At all. Nope, Heather's not. I'm tapping out. Tap, tap. Bye-bye.
yeah. For those of you that are not the book readers, only Heather has read the books. Jonathan and I saw the film, but that was already like a dozen years ago.
Yeah.
I just looked up when that came out. Do you realize that was 12 years ago? I don't know if we talked about this yet. It was 12 years ago that movie came out.
I think we did, but,
Didn't we?
I
That's
think in
ridiculous.
episode one, I want to say we talked about that.
Well, let's re-talk about that for a second. Holy crap, we're old.
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely.
But I think at this point, and I guess I'll talk about like because I had made my initial prediction that I was gonna have like one emotional moment during this series, and then in the last episode, I had smartly bumped up that number considerably, and I did have I already had my first pretty emotional moment, and it was
Yes.
Is it Ma Costa telling Lyra everything?
yeah,
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
it was how understated their performances were, because like it was and I'm already like starting to feel it again because it was like them, because you know, like in real life, people don't like becoming hysterical in front of other people.
Yeah.
So, like seeing it and seeing them stopping it, I feel like is usually much more like that's usually what gets me is like people not able to just fully do what they are, like be able to let go of their emotions. So like both of their performances of just like super understated, but being like incredibly depressed was like, yeah, that got me.
Well, yeah. And this is life shattering news that both of them have to process very quickly. So it's, yes, I agree. I also had an emotional moment. I'm with you, Josh.
Mr. Robot Jonathan, did you feel anything in your TikTok heart?
No,
in
my circuits.
No, I definitely did. It was. I can't remember the exact moment of it. No, actually, I do remember the exact moment of it. It was when Lyra realized that Ma Costa was the nurse.
Yeah,
like that. It was like, oh fuck. Like the revelation that like Mrs. Coulter is her mother is one of those things was like, I vaguely remember that from having seen the movie, but like also I just two episodes back to back, you're just getting punched in the gut with this person is your parent.
Well, and you have to remember, God. this has been like 2 days for her, 3 days maybe.
Yeah.
Like, she just found out who her father is, and literally like a day later she found out who her mom is, and she's just like, is everything I fucking know a lie? God damn you people. And so you really hear that, and she acted this so well of her being like, I'm so, and she, you could tell she wanted to be like, I'm so fucking tired of everybody telling me that.
Yeah.
So I really like the use of the word bored. She's just so frustrated, and she acts that so well. And like you said, Josh, it was just so understated that it's so great. I loved it.
Yeah. So, for people that have not seen the movie, which I have, we've essentially blown past all of the big spoilers, I guess, from the movie, because spoiler alert for the movie, that was essentially like the big ending
reveal towards the end. Yeah,
because it's like she reveals that I think it's in the movie, it's Nicole Kidman actually tells her that she's her mother. And then there's a thing that happens, and then credits roll. So like, we're already really hitting the ground running on this story. So I'm actually looking forward to like finding out what happens next, because I really don't know. And like watching this, now I'm definitely aware of why they made the Egyptians much more important than the movie, because in the movie, like, yeah, it's maybe like 2 minutes between her not being up north and then suddenly being with Sam Elliott and Ian McKellen. So I feel like there's a lot of stuff that they cut out there just to get to the polar bears.
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate. And then we will say nothing else, apparently.
So for our listeners, I'm in a weird place right now where I want to talk and I want to say things, and there are things that are happening that I really want to talk about, but I want to do no spoilers. I want to talk about nothing that I shouldn't talk about. And so I'm having a hard time like forming opinions that I can express. And I warned everybody from episode one, I was going to be the worst person to watch this with. I'm going to be the worst person to try to talk to about this. I already like tried to not blow my fuse. I'm literally couldn't even tell a story about how I didn't really realize that was Andrew Scott in the episode. I literally could not have told you who the actor was until Jonathan was like, oh yeah, Moriarty. And I was like, oh fuck, that was him, because I can't focus on things right now that I really should be focusing on. So yeah,
Well, what did it for me was that the first picture that they show of him, like they kind of showed it in the last episode, but it was kind of far away.
Yeah.
But then seeing the like his military photo where he is like not in a blizzard, doesn't have a beard, and it's just like, oh no, that's just his face. And I was like, oh my god, that's Andrew Scott. And I was like, he better not just be a picture in like the entirety of this show, because if you just got Andrew Scott to be a couple photographs, that would be very upsetting. And I know you can't say anything about...
I'm just going to say that would be really disappointing if that's what ends up happening, or if that is what was supposed to happen, or if that is in Mape Will Be and future dot blah, 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 blah.
Cool. Good to know.
Yeah. If your theory is correct, that would be disappointing. If your theory is not correct, that would be not disappointing. Did I cover all my bases?
I think so.
I thought it was pretty interesting, and it kind of made me start wondering like what sort of how much he kind of knows of this world when Boreal goes through the old Stargate. What do they call the, what's the name of the, what do they call them in this?
He called them, what did he call them? Windows? Boreal calls them windows?
Does he? I don't remember.
Something like that. But like, so when
the
he comes...
The tear? The rip?
Yeah. When he steps back into our world and his BMW has a boot on it. I thought that was pretty funny, and it made me start wondering like, how familiar is he with like the way things work around here? Because obviously... Because
he rips the tickets off in the first episode, in the second episode, and then this one he comes back with a boot, and I was like, yep, they booted him. What I want to know is, how did he get the boot off the car?
Maybe the old little sneaky snake something, I don't know.
His little sneaky snake.
Okay, so that begs the question, is the sneaky snake just a snake when he crosses over?
That is an excellent question that we do not know the answer to.
Yeah. That'd be interesting to find out, because they do mention with Andrew Scott's character, who I can't remember the name, and I don't see it on the IMDb.
I could tell you.
I can't remember do they say it in here?
Yeah.
They say his name, yeah.
Okay.
Many times.
What's the character's name?
John Perry. Colonel John Perry.
Yeah. But they say, or he's, they, the characters seem to think that he was born in the, I'll call it the Prime Universe, and then crossed over and maybe
our universe versus their universe.
Yeah. And then maybe somehow got a demon of his own. And then that connects into, was it Tommy, I think? Is John Fuzz? It was his son, right?
Wait, who is?
What are you talking about?
The two kids that go to break into Mrs. Coulter's study.
Tony Costa.
Tony.
And Benjamin.
Yeah, Benjamin, that's the one. When Benjamin jumps out of the thing and his demon dies, it turns into a type of dusty material. So I think there's some clues there about what is happening there.
Definitely. Could be. Yep.
Jonathan, any opinions about the episode? Anything popped out to you?
I don't know. This one...
I have a really cool thing that I'm excited about. Sorry, Jonathan, I'm not going to cut you off. But,
no, you're fine.
I really like the representation in the Egyptian people that there are actors who don't normally probably get roles a lot of the time in just being a normal person. And that I really like that they're showing the Egyptian culture as in they are everybody. And so you get to see a lot of different type of people, and there's a lot of representation in it. And I dig it. I dig it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a character whose name I cannot remember who is a bit more antagonistic in this episode than he was in the first two.
Garrett. His name is Garrett.
Garrett. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, man, I wonder like how his casting process went, because I mean obviously everybody auditions for stuff, but like somebody who has a disability getting into acting, like what is the first step? Is like, is this just something where they were like, yeah, we'll take a chance on an unknown, or is he known for something else and I just don't know it?
On his IMDb, he has quite a few credits of things.
I'm so glad you looked, because I was already like, where is he? I'm going to go find him.
He was in American Horror Story. It looks like he was on the circus season.
That's the thing that, like, unfortunately, that seems like the roles that somebody in that situation would only receive offers on.
And
mm-hmm. he was in Phantom of the Opera and Doctor Who.
Interesting.
He was also in a film called, I'm uncomfortable even saying it, but it's called Unarmed But Dangerous.
Oh no.
But it looks like it's a kung fu movie, but it's still no, that's what it's about. So yeah. It only has 2.9 stars out of 10, so
clearly this is gonna be a future Moist Boys episode.
It might be too uncomfortable to talk about at that point, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I did appreciate, and this is another thing that this show has, we've talked about before, of kind of avoiding the cliche pitfalls. At least right now, I guess it could turn around, but it doesn't seem like it will. Of, because he was like, when the Egyptians are meeting, he's kind of the oppositional voice to actually doing anything. But then at the end of their meeting, it seemed like he had turned around. So it doesn't seem like it's going to be a thing where, like, you know, your typical show would have set that up. And then you kind of just, as a watcher, you're just like counting down until that Chekhov's asshole goes off, I guess would be
that's how to put it.
Especially in like genre stuff, it seems like that's a trope that you see way too often, where you're like, oh, that character, like a character will be obviously against something and everyone will try to convince them otherwise, and then they will be unconvinced, but everyone will still like trust them implicitly, even though it's obvious that they're going to eventually turn on them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he will at this point, but he's like, based on his performance, it doesn't seem like it will be. So I think that, like, to have a scene where everyone gets rallied together is nice. So hopefully they don't fall into that trap again.
It actually seems like by the end of like all that whole scene that everybody is on board with supporting the greater good of that situation.
Yeah. And he's not like wandering off to go sharpen a knife or do whatever characters usually do when they, it seems like that was a thing a lot on like Game of Thrones, where a character would pretend to be, but only pretend for like 2 seconds until they wander off to go do something menacing for the camera to know that so that we know that they're going to do something eventually.
Yeah, because they would just like, it would always just be them wandering to the corner of a room where they could see everything, but like, oh, people can't see them in that dark corner of that room, but the audience knows that they're there.
Yeah.
And again, Heather will say absolutely nothing.
It's probably for the best.
It is. Yeah. It is. I'm just going to talk about how happy I was there were no creepy ass fox in this episode.
Yeah, that was appreciated.
Yeah.
But I'm going to assume that he comes back at some point, because I don't think you don't think you set up something that effective and then just drop it immediately. So I have a love-hate relationship with that thing, because it's effective but also completely terrifying.
So I'm going to talk about something from the book really fast, because I find it interesting, and this is one of those things that I love about shows that do adaptations well. And I was telling Jonathan this, is that you don't get to see the other kids get nabbed in the book. Like, here we get to see Billy Costa get nabbed, we get to see Roger get nabbed, and then we get to see Lyra get nabbed. And so that's really interesting, because in the books you don't get to know that the first two got taken. You just get to assume. But when Lyra gets taken, it is by a guy with a fox demon. And so I was like, oh, they just took who took Lyra and just made it that person for all three. And so I was like, oh, that's really interesting that they would do that, like that would be this adaptation. So I really like that is something they've done. It's really cool.
One piece of house cleaning from I think the first from episode one that we reviewed, I had talked about Pan being a stole, and he's actually an ermine. So a little bit of trivia for all you zoological listeners that were screaming at me when I was talking my nonsense.
That's fair. I can usurp your position as the not knowing what an animal is. What is the big brown one he turns into? Because
what do you mean?
Like it's not quite a badger, but it's like.
Is it the polecat he turns into?
Yeah, probably.
Because he does turn into a polecat at some point, I'm pretty sure.
Like when in episode two, when like the monkey is attacking him, he goes from his like little ermine into like a bigger, the big brown version.
Oh yeah, he becomes a polecat for a second. He also favors the ermine usually, as we've all seen in these three episodes, but they have the ability to turn into anything at will. But you have to remember that Lyra's Jordan, Lyra's Oxford and London is set way back. They don't have the same modern technology. And so you have to think about animals that were around when we were doing fur trading. And that's what you'll see them do most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always like, my first thought when anytime that there's like alternate history or alternate anything like that, I'm always like, what happened 2,000 years ago that was different there than what happened here? Because it seems like there's a lot of stuff that like, that hit throughout history that has like slowly shaped where we are at this point. So it's like, I was like, I wonder what differences like led to different outcomes.
The big thing we haven't seen, because we've seen that now a steam engine, because of that boat was a steam engine. But we haven't seen large industrial anything.
Like fossil fuel.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering if like they didn't have the industrial revolution that we had.
Maybe.
The steam revolution clearly happened, but also they use motors on their boats, though.
Yeah.
Because when Tony Costa and Benjamin are going off, they have like a little motorboat.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And they have elevators. So.
That's just the pulley system, though.
Yeah, like weighted.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can have them on the, if you can have them on the wall, you can have them in a building, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think of the three big scene, well, I guess two of the big scenes were in one like location in time. So it's like more like two scenes and then three events. But one is Benjamin's demon turning into dusty stuff. But also in that same scene, they keep building up Mrs. Coulter and her monkey. And I think I have some theories about that, but I don't want to say them here because just in case.
Farter Coram talked about that a little bit actually with Lyra, and I'm wondering if that conversation is going to play a big key into this relationship, because he talks about, you know, because Lyra was like, what if your demon turns into something you don't like? And he said, well, then that's because you're, what's the word he used? Discontented or something like that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
With yourself. And so I wonder if that's kind of what might have happened, is she got this monkey and doesn't agree and doesn't think that that's who she is and is at war with herself. Like, I think that we've already started to guess that a little bit, but here is literally a conversation saying, hey, that might be what have happened.
Yeah.
But then there's also a little bit of like, she starts taking on some of his characteristics. So like, I'm interested to see where they take that, because like when she's attacking Benjamin, she does like, she's like slapping at him, but doing like the back of the hands rubbing it like apes will do and stuff. And then like when he falls down the elevator shaft, she like does some weird,
her like weird scream. Like...
Yeah.
So again, I will remind you, and I think that this is one of those really great moments in this show where they're really trying to subtly show you without just being like, hey, freaking remember, there are two, that monkey is her soul. They are two halves of a whole. Like, they are each other. And so where you probably, you know, like the demons take up a lot of their humans' characteristics, this is showing you the other end of when you lose absolute control, you're just going to lean into the other half of who you are and become the animal inside of you. Which is very subtle and very, I dig it a lot. I like this a lot.
I also thought it was funny. I think this is the first time that they've shown when Farter Coram is talking to Pan. I think this is the first time in the show that they've shown somebody talking to one of the demons. And I thought that was really interesting.
It is. I was wondering what they were going to do. And I thought that was, I literally looked at Jonathan and was like, that's the first time somebody's talked to another person's demon.
But
he was like, oh.
But now I just want an entire series of just like different people having conversations with Pan, because like that was probably one of the few heartwarming scenes that we're probably going to get for the rest of the season. Cause I think it's going to turn dark. Did you guys watch the preview for the next episode?
I did.
Bears, 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 yeah. Bears, 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 bears.
We'll get into more stuff, just in case anyone didn't watch that. I don't want to give away too much. There are going to be bears, obviously, because they're headed to the north, and that's where the bears are. But there's some other stuff that I want to talk about that I saw there, but we'll leave that just in case, because I know that some people don't even like watching previews for the next episode. But this is the one that I did watch because I knew that certain things were coming, and I was interested to see what they were gonna do with it. So, but yeah, after we're done with this episode, we'll do a little break for anyone that doesn't want to hear anything about that.
Yeah,
I'm very sorry for my bear comment.
We knew they were coming.
Really, I'm just really excited.
So, real quick, I promised myself that every time something is not in an episode of this show, I will make this same joke. But we got part two of the Lackavoy of McAvoy.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. How many more times am I going to get to say that on this podcast? Strap in, folks.
Would you like me to actually give you a guess?
I think at least one more time.
I'm going to, my guess, and this is having, again, not a spoiler because I don't really, I have no idea what's going to come in the next couple episodes, but that's going to be episode 4. So I'm going to say we're going to get 3 more episodes without Mr. McAvoy coming back.
You think they're going to hold him off until the very last one?
Second to last.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think second to last and last one will be before he comes back. But that's just like an uneducated guess.
Putting money on it. 3 more Lackavoys of McAvoy.
Any other stray thoughts anybody had about anything happening on this one?
I would say I think Heather and I both had the same reaction when, like, Lyra kind of coyly told Tony that, like, the secret was through the drawer. And he just opens it and just, like, looks at the papers inside of the drawer.
So frustrated. She didn't say it was in the damn drawer, Tony. It's through the drawer. And to be fair, she could have said, pull the drawer all the way fucking out and there's the thing. Like, you know, a normal person would have. But also, when she says through the drawer, dude, does that mean just open the drawer and pull out everything? Also, how fucking convenient is it that Benjamin finds a map to where they're supposed to be going and does not give it to Tony, who escapes? And so the map didn't leave the damn apartment.
Yeah.
It's mighty convenient there.
To defend Lyra for a moment, she does mention that Tony smells bad, so maybe she wasn't thinking clearly at that point.
From his hair slick.
Yeah.
Also, who says hair slick?
Yeah, that's fair.
I imagine that all those people smell bad, though, just because I don't imagine there's
Have you seen a shower on one of those boats yet? I have not seen space for a bathroom.
Yeah. And they're always, like, especially Tony is always, like, super oily looking and just like, I bet you they smell real bad.
Yeah.
I'll just mention this because I think everyone in this cast deserves a shout out, but give a shout out to Ruth Wilson, terrifying as ever. Oh, there was one thing that I didn't like because pretty much everything else in this show has a very well thought out and interesting name. Except for one item that I don't know if it's in the books called this and Philip Pullman just gave up trying to name stuff or if it's something for the show. But I thought like the spy fly was having grown adults say that. It wasn't my favorite thing.
Yeah, that's what it's called in the books.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's a little on the nose.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. just because like everything else is so like very particularly named or like very like everything has a very specific and then you just have like oh these are just spy flies.
Well, so I wonder a lot of like terminology that is very specific to that universe that it's just like literally saying what the thing is kind of just like oh I mean I guess.
Yeah. at the end of the episode when Lyra's at the top of the steam pipe on the ship and she takes the one spy fly that they capture and she's going to throw it over the edge for a moment. I thought she was going to throw the, I can never remember what it's called because
the alethiometer.
Yeah. I thought she was going to throw that. And I was like, what the fuck is she doing with the alethiometer? Like, she just learned how to read it. And now she's going to throw it away. But it wasn't until Ma Coster was like, was started talking about it. I was like, oh yeah, the spy thing or the fly thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely had that same thought where I was like, bitch, you literally just successfully used it. And you're just like, well, and I'm done with that.
I'm really excited that we start to get to see the alethiometer and Lyra, though. Like, I'm stoked on that.
Yeah, that was a cool scene. I enjoyed that a lot.
I'm going to tell you guys, I really enjoy the design of the alethiometer. Like, uh-huh. That when you're just looking at it on the outside, it's very, like, unassuming. And then you open it and all the clockwork, like, mechanisms, I really dig it.
Yeah.
I like that it looks less like just a compass than the film version did. Because from what I remember, like, the film one was just a compass. So, like, I like that they actually put some design into it as opposed to just... Eh, it's a golden compass. Fuck it. Yeah. Nobody cares.
So I was just looking over something really fast. And when it comes across her the first time, it is not called a spy fly. They don't have a name for it.
Mm.
Interesting.
I'll just call out Jack Thorne, you know, buddy. Try harder, maybe. Next time,
I don't know if they have one later, but when they first find it, they tell you where it's from, but they don't have a name for it.
Yeah. Well, if it's told from Lyra's perspective, that would make sense, I guess. That like she wouldn't know what it.
Well, she's literally talking to somebody, and they tell her where it's from and what it is, but they don't have a name.
Just come on, Jack Thorne. Just take a Latin word and an Egyptian word, put them together, and then you got a name for
your
little magical device.
Yeah, like
just taking its two characteristics.
Yeah,
like these two things are what it do. It is now the name of this thing.
Well, I guess this show's canceled now. I'm never gonna get over it.
Never gonna get over it.
Too many sins on this show.
Yeah. I mean, they may as well just literally refer to the demons as spirit animals.
Yeah. I also really liked when Pan is dunking on Lyra about being empty-headed.
Oh, that was so good.
I know, the little snarky little burn.
What is the fucking little adorable face as he says it, too? Just makes it that much better.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I love you, but here's a little nice... burn, you're gonna need some ointment for that.
that's
some pretty good stuff. I think it's really hard to talk about a show that is just good in any way like this, especially when we're at a point where like I feel like these middle episodes are going to be a little bit harder to talk about as far as like overall.
Stuff's happening, but it's not like massive things.
Yeah.
That like, we have to have reactions to.
It's all
the set story's up. Moving along. Yeah. But
I think once we get into 4, we're going to have some more things because we're going to be getting more character introductions. But this was an A to B episode. Because 1 and 2. One is just like full on introduction to stuff. 2 introduces things that they probably weren't supposed to this early, but did. And then 3 is just getting from A to B to get to episode 4. And so like 4 is where stuff I think is going to start picking up a little bit more. And then we're going to be able to talk about those reactions a little bit more.
I mean, yes and no, though. I mean, there's some pretty decent revelations in this. They're just not like... And we've talked about them. You know what I mean? Like finding out that Miss Coulter is Lyra's mom is a pretty big deal.
It is.
Finding out that Ma Costa took care of her as a baby, that the Egyptians have been looking out for her since she was a baby, is pretty cool. They glaze over that real fast. But, like, I caught it, them being like, we've known about you since you were a baby. Like, they've been paying attention to her since she's little.
Yeah.
And, like, that's pretty cool. You know, there's some cool things that happen. It's just very what is the word I'm going for here, guys?
Exposition.
Yeah, exposition-y versus action-y. But we got a decent amount of action still, too.
Yeah, we did.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird feeling of, like, I know it's so much happened, but, like, looking back on it, I'm kind of just like, there wasn't as much, I don't know. It felt a little bit weird.
So the first two had a lot, and so this one felt slower in comparison, but it was not a slow episode of something.
No, not by any means.
I think also,
you want to talk about a slow episode, our other show we're reviewing, we'll talk about that later.
Well, I think part of it too is I don't think there's only one new character introduced in this one, and we literally know nothing about him except that he has hands to take photographs and that he can find people. I think that's part of it too. But like, I'm not saying like in a bad way, but just in a, as far as doing like a breakdown show of trying to go through it all, I feel like this one was just, this happened and it was really good, and then this happened. So as far as like a conversation piece, it was, there's less controversial things happening. And I have a feeling, spoiler free, I have a feeling that next episode we're going to spend at least 20 to 30 minutes just talking about one particular thing that I'll kind of get into after we do our Cloonies, and then get into our spoiler for next episode. So I guess I'll lead off with my Cloonies, and then, maybe not surprising, but I'm actually going to give this one 9.5.
Heather?
I'm going to stick with the same rating I've been giving everything, which I think is like a 9 or 9.5. I can't remember. Pretty just same. I love it. Super happy.
Yeah, I'm going to be the person who just says something different to be that person who says something different. And I'm just going to say 9.
You son of a bitch.
Yep.
Why do you hate this show so much? So for those of you that don't want to be spoiled about the previews we saw for the next episode, thank you for listening. If you like listening to us here, consider checking out the Moist Boys podcast. We're talking about Star Wars right now. We also have a bunch of nerd stuff, Jurassic Park, Evangelion, all kinds of fun.
Good Lord. Fun stuff. Did you just try the hardest to mispronounce that as much as possible?
He does every time.
Every time.
We can also head on over to our Instagram, where we have a link to all of our different projects that we have. All kinds of fun stuff going on over there. We're at Moist Boys Podcast, which is our, like, I guess it's our main show, I would consider it. The one that we've been doing the longest. And if you want to help support us, and if you want to maybe kind of steer what future shows that this podcast does, because the two that we are working on now only go till the end of 2019, and then they are finished for the season. But we would like to do more shows for you guys. Head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/moistboyspodcast. I'm going to probably overhaul that a little bit to kind of put different things in there and different rewards at different tiers to kind of maybe entice some new people. But I'm going to do again, I think, what we did on episode 1 and introduce ourselves at the end of our kind of discussion, because I have been Josh.
I am Jonathan.
And I am always the best bro, Heather.
So for our non-spoiler folks, thank you for listening. And for our spoilery folks that maybe watch the trailer for the next week's episode.
Bears. Bears, 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 bears.
And
bears, bears, bears.
I think the show is going to face its big, its first, I would say its first big test of the series so far. And when
I think it's going to have three. I think it's going to have three big tests in this next episode.
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest one, again, watching, seeing more of Lin-Manuel Miranda hasn't completely dispelled it yet.
We actually got to hear him in this preview.
Yeah.
Say something. And I don't hate it yet. I mean, it was one line, but I don't hate it yet. It's not like he's trying to do a super twangy Oklahoma or Georgian accent.
Yeah.
So there's not a big old drawl happening. So I'm okay with it so far.
That's a good sign.
I don't hate it. So that's, I agree with you. That's going to be a big test, is Lin-Manuel Miranda.
So a couple things. Another big test. Sorry, go ahead.
Is how does the another big test is going to be how the Bears look. So far, we have not gotten to see Oryk completely. We've seen bits of him. We've seen his paw. We've seen his face roaring.
We saw him bust through a gate.
Yeah, but did we actually get to see him like standing there next to somebody or something, not moving, just get to see the damn bear?
No, we've seen. So the thing is, like, we've seen him full body. We've seen him, but we have not seen him interact with a human.
Yeah, so that's going to be a big test to me. But this is HBO, and this is BBC, and if anybody's got more money than them, it's Disney, and that's it. So I'm interested to see. I think they'll do Oryk well.
Yeah,
I'm very excited.
A couple things for me. First of all, Joshua, earlier when you were saying there's not like a whole lot of like controversial things. I know for a fact Heather would very much disagree with that, but that's something that she cannot get into because...
Literally not talking about it. No, yeah. Just don't even bring it up. Just not talking about it.
Well, I just wanted to anybody who has read the books and is watching the show may feel very, very differently about the...
My Instagram is the best bro Heather. I'm on Instagram as the best bro Heather with spaces. DM me and I will have a full on conversation with you if you have read the books and you would also like to talk about this.
Just
slide in those DMs. Slide in those DMs and I will have a conversation with you about my feelings. Whether they're positive or negative, I will have that conversation with you. I'm not spoiling this for anybody. Nope.
I had to put that out there real quick.
But... Well, I just meant not controversial in the arc of the show, and like right. What my concerns have been up to this point.
Yeah,
but I'm sure
I have concerns I didn't know I would have. Let's just
interesting
go with that. Yeah, I in no way predicted certain concerns. I also have had many concerns calmed, so I'm also okay with that.
So Lin-Manuel and the Bears was your third thing.
Is a spoiler, and I'm not gonna. Okay. It's a book spoiler, so I'm not gonna talk about it. But I'm just gonna let you guys know that there might be something else.
Interesting.
It's not actually. It's not a book spoiler. They have mentioned it at least three times in the show. In this episode, they mentioned it a couple times. So I'm interested. I don't know if it'll happen next episode or the episode after that, but I think it's next episode. And I'm interested.
So what I'm excited for is, well, I guess not excited for, maybe it's not the right word, but I'm curious if at the very end of this season, you're going to be able to just go off on any of this stuff, or if it's going to have to wait until the next season.
With the way they're doing the episodes, it feels like it's going to be next season. It feels like it's going to be season after that.
Yeah.
I think that at the very end of this show, we should just have an episode where I rant about everything.
By all means.
I don't know. Rant or and be happy, because there's I've said this in a lot of the episodes where I'm very happy with this adaptation. I very much like what they're doing, and I am never a purist. I'm not. Like, I don't want them to word for word, play by play, action by action, it from a book to a movie. If I wanted to imagine what that was going to be like, I'd just read the damn book again. I have a vivid enough imagination that I could do that for myself. However, I am very impressed with this adaptation. I think that it sticks close enough to its source material that it's true to it, while also making it extremely entertaining to watch. I'm just concerned about certain decisions. Anyways, my third thing, Josh, I can actually say without spoiling anything, I'm interested about the witches. They mentioned at least twice. I think they mentioned maybe a third time. I'm interested about the witches. I'm interested. What's this going to be? What's this going to look like? How are we going to do this? Well, let's meet some witches.
I feel like that was something that was not in the movie at all. Or if it was, yeah. Because I was like, wait, there's witches. Now I got a bunch of questions.
Yeah, right.
If it was in the movie, if they were in the movie, they were in the movie like the Egyptians were in the movie, where like they weren't there.
Yeah. Like, blink and you miss them.
They were there for like 5 minutes and then it was done. So like, I don't even remember the witches being in the movie, and I haven't watched the movie in a minute, but I'm excited. I'm excited because I'm very happy with the with this adaptation. So I'm excited. But bears. I'm mostly excited about this damn bear. Mainly because he's my favorite character from the book. From the Golden Compass, he is my favorite character. And so I'm just like, yay, please come back to me. And Jonathan and I had this discussion. Jonathan's very worried about his voice.
Yes, because...
About the voice actor.
He and I...
12-year-old.
Both watched a video of the actor just talking like outside a premiere of some kind. Mm-hmm. And he did not sound anything near like Ian McKellen. So
here's what I told Jonathan is that Ian McKellen, while I love this man, Sir Ian McKellen is amazing. He's also not the right choice for this voice either. This character is not 12, but also is not
an old man.
An Ian McKellen age.
Yeah.
As old as Ian McKellen was 12 years ago. Without spoiling who the bear is, that's what I'm gonna say. He's not on either end of a spectrum. So
yeah.
I'm interested to see what a goddamn man bear. Yeah, he's a bear. I'm interested to see what this guy's voice sounds like, because he's a voice actor. Maybe he has a bigger voice to put on for us. We'll find out.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Don't let me down, random guy.
Yeah, don't ruin my favorite character. I'll be pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I think that's a good place to leave it for this week.
Bears.
I think it's pretty safe to say that we are...
I need to stop saying bears with an S. I should just say bear. Bear.
Yeah.
Bear.
Well, the longer trailer had multiple bears. So
we're getting to the bears episode. Yeah. We are not in the bears land. We are just in a bear. A bear. One bear. Bear.
I think it's safe to say that we are all enjoying the series up to this point and mm-hmm. looking forward to new episodes. Thank you all for listening to our weird ramblings in the old podcasting world. We have a new audio setup that we're all trying out. So
hopefully we sound better this time.
Hopefully we're all sounding good and maybe a little bit crisper and clearer.
Bears.
Bears. Dumb bears.
Dumb bears.
Yeah, thank you all for listening. And we will be back this Friday with episode 2 and 3 of The Mandalorian. I have watched episode 2 of The Mandalorian. I don't know if you guys have watched episode 2
yet. We watched it earlier today.
I might have a controversial Clooney rating on that episode. We'll see.
It might not be so controversial. I definitely hinted at that earlier.
I'm saying that's why it might be controversial, because It might be different from everybody else. But yeah, so next Friday, or this Friday, I should say,
in a couple days, of days, Friday.
Yeah. we'll be doing episodes 2 and 3 of The Mandalorian. And then also that episode will be, that's going to be our Force Awakens episode over on the Moist Boys podcast.
Ooh, Force Awakens.
Which will be interesting to see what happens. We actually have not recorded it yet.
We have made it through the prequels.
Yeah, prequels are over. We have now entered the age of the mouse. So we'll see how everyone fares as we go through those. And all leading up to our big finale coming December 21st or thereabouts, when we are going to watch and review The Rise of Skywalker, our second in theater review on the Moist Boys podcast. So that will be fun and interesting as well. Keep an eye out on Moist Boys feed for that. We're going to announce more stuff around that as well. So yeah, thank you for guys for listening. And we'll, for those of you that are listening to both shows, we'll see you on Friday. Otherwise, next Monday, episode 4 of His Dark Materials. And we'll see what happens with that.